The first thing that we are struck by is that when the angels made the announcement to the shepherds, they told the shepherds what they should do, and they promptly obeyed. They said to one another, "Let us see what happens, which the Lord has made known to us." Secondly, no sooner were they told than, St. Luke tells us, they went with haste a second time in two chapters. When Luke, pardon the expression, Luke has people running. The first time, immediately after the angels appearing to Our Lady and told her that her kinswoman Elizabeth had conceived in her old age, Our Lady, we're told, went with haste. An angel makes an announcement. The one to whom the message is spoken believes. They immediately act on their faith, and they not only act immediately, but speedily. So we're told they went with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. In other words, what the angel told them they would see, they saw. But that's not the most important thing. No sooner were the shepherds told what had happened, and they found, as they were told they would find, Mary and Joseph and a child lying in the manger, then they took word, the key word. They understood what had been told them concerning this child. What is the theme of the gospel we've just read? The theme is faith. The angel did not have to believe, because they were immediate witnesses of the divine. But the shepherds to whom the angel appeared, they had to take on the word of the angels that what they were told, listen, not only that they would find Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. No. That the child whom they saw, hear it, they believed, was the one whom the angel said he was. What a difference between seeing something with one's bodily eyes and believing with the eyes of the mind. There are many implications to the gospel we've just read, but I believe there is one that we should all examine our consciences on Christmas Day. There is so much to what we are expected to believe. We believe that when as infants the waters of baptism were poured over us, we now believe that at the moment of our baptism, from having been estranged from God, we are once more in the friendship of God. What do we believe? We believe, as there is in the Catholic Church, a power which Christ conferred on those whom he ordained, so that when they pronounce the words of absolution, "I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," our sins are really forgiven. Again, we come into church and what do we see? We see a tabernacle, and for you in this community, most of the day, you see the monstrance exposed and what looks like a white object in the center of the monstrance. That's what you see. But what a difference. What a difference between what we see and what we believe. The first fundamental lesson that the visit of the shepherd should teach us is that we are not merely to see, or for that matter hear, or taste, or touch with our bodily senses. We are to believe with our mind. And it's the mind with which we believe during the forthcoming retreat, which I believe begins this evening. We're going to talk about the Holy Eucharist from many angles. But I think it is of paramount importance for you handmaids of the precious blood to ask our Lord on his birthday to deepen your faith so that, like the shepherd, they saw a baby lying in an animal trough, kind of unusual, but except for that, well, what's new about seeing a baby? That, like the shepherds, you, on seeing with your bodily eyes the physical properties of what looks like bread, you will believe with your mind this is the same identical Jesus Christ whom the shepherds saw with their eyes and believed was the Messiah, and, as they were told, the Lord, their God. your charism, bequeathed to you by your founder, has many ramifications, but the heart of the handmaid's spirituality is faith in the real presence. All I can say is that your father had prophetic insight into the need for this faith being sustained by those who claim to be his followers, so that depending on the strength of your faith in Jesus, the one born at Bethlehem and lying in a manger, that this Jesus of Christmas Day is here. And depending on the depth of your faith, God will use you to restore the necessary to strengthen what is the center, the heart of the crisis in the priesthood today. What is it? A weakening and tragically the loss of faith in the real presence. I know, how well I know, how tragically well I know, that, in one sentence, is a crisis in the priesthood in the world today. But as we know, God will use us as channels of His grace. He'll use you as channels of His grace to sanctify His priests in the measure of your own deep, simple, shall I say, shepherd-like faith, so that what you see with your eyes, your mind, they'll believe and hear it. And we are told by St. Luke, and they understood. Yes. You're not quite finished. The shepherds believed. And because they believed firmly, they understood. Thus, they did not hug their faith to themselves. They shared it. As long as there's a breath of life in me, I will never stop telling the audience as I speak to, nothing good we have ever received from God is meant to be kept only for ourselves. And the most fundamental gift that God has given to us is our faith. Share it. And we share it in every conceivable way in which one human being communicates to other human beings with the one who possesses, shares. But there is one way especially. You are to live this faith we claim to possess. And my dear handmaids of the precious blood, the first and primary persons with whom you are to share your faith are your own fellow believers. And do they ever know? We live in too close physical, spiritual, psychological, geographical proximity to one another. I shall read it. For most of the members of your community, you could go to confession for each one of your sisters. Spare her the trouble. Wouldn't be a valid absolution, but how you might make a better confession than she does. Oh, how we know the failings of others. With hawk's eyes we have to recognize their weaknesses. And we live our faith when we cheerfully, smilingly, wholeheartedly show that we love people whose failings they could write a book on. That, in my book, is living the faith in a religious community. One more, and we're finished. Our Lady. We are told by St. Luke that and the word begins in the original Greek. But all these happenings, the angel's message, that the host of heaven singing the glory of God and promising peace to those who do God's will, the shepherd's coming, pouring out this story, but, says Luke, that's an adversity. However, with all that everybody else had done, heavenly ovations, all kinds of bustle and activity. But, however, nevertheless, Mary kept in mind all these things. Oh, the silence of Mary on Christmas morning. We sing, Silent Night, Holy Night. Silence can have many meanings, but one meaning that it had better have for us is the meaning that it had for Our Lady. No matter what happens in our lives, the most important response, the most fundamental reaction that we should have to anything, change the word, to everything in our lives, is silent prayer. But I have to say something. Nobody's telling you not to talk. The secret is whom you talk to. The safest statement I can make is most people talk too much. And by talking too much, What do you mean? Talking too much to others. And as a consequence, talking too little to the Lord. Merry silence is a thunderous rebuke to our talkative communication with other people, and shall I add, to the pathetic neglect of talking with the one who most wants to hear us. He doesn't need it, but he wants it. Wants to hear what is in our hearts. Everything that is on our hearts, the more deep the thought, the more surprising the experience, the more humanly unexplainable the event, the more painful what befalls us, the more we should cultivate, this is an imperative, cultivate the habit of talking, and I mean it, constantly with God. There's not a cheap adverb. Constantly pondering as Mary did, which means sharing your deepest thoughts and sentiments with the one who wants you to not merely speak to him, but to talk with him. And that, by the way, is a condition for Christ in turn speaking to us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.